Okay, can we do our Namo Namaha and everything? Then it will be 10 minutes.
This is everyone.
Yes. Well,
we can start.
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. At the request of the people here, now I will tackle the mind and its mental factors. Not exactly according to the order of the book, but I will start with the living tradition and then come back to the book. We have said that the book starts with the akusala chittas analysis, and also in the chetasika part with the akusala chetasikas. And we have pointed out the reasons for that. It is connected with the very, shows the very superior intelligence of the author of this treatise. Now, in the living tradition, of course, one does not start, because in order to see these chittas, chetasikas, and to understand them, seeing chittas and chetasikas is not enough. We have to understand how they appear and disappear in the mind processes. And they appear and disappear, especially the Atthakatha literature, the commentary literature, and the Abhidhamma. Commentary stress, the way they appear and disappear is according to the chitta niyama. There is a certain order. And understanding of this order, understanding of the interdependence, which is the essence of this order, is the condition for real understanding of these chittas and chetasikas. Otherwise, we just miss the point, because these chittas and chetasikas, they are not static entities. They are very dynamic entities, always in the process of changing. Because we do not see this process of change, therefore we are bound in ignorance, which gives us the idea of one mind, one thinker, one who feels, one who cognizes as being a permanent entity. So the key of seeing these cittas and cetasikas in the process of cognition, we have already especially emphasized the most important aspect of mind. Citta is just cintana, is just cognition. As we have seen, the lakkhana, the characteristic of mind, is just vijanana, just differentiation. There is no one who differentiates, there is no one who thinks. And this we can only understand by understanding the different functions of these different minds and different mental factors, how they appear and disappear. Like endless stream of water, never, even so, the contents of the water they basically appear according to the same laws. Nevertheless, it is always, we never enter the same river. When one has seen how these different minds and mental factors appear and disappear in each and every moment of perception, how they all have different functions, how they are just collection of different, with each with different characteristics, then our clinging to mind will be radically weakened. Because the impermanence of mind even so being the most impermanent thing in this world, the fastest changing things in this world, of all the dhammas, the most lahu parivata, the most changing the fastest. Nevertheless, of all these things that we experience in this world, it is the mind with its mental cetasika that we tend most obstinately to identify with ourselves. Because Buddha has said in the Agamas that the putu jana, the unenlightened man, it is virtually impossible for an unenlightened man to get disenchanted with the mind. So normally the meditation always starts with the contemplation of that phenomena whose change is easily perceptible. That is rupa. It is very easy. And even the ordinary man can very easily see that this body of ours and that the objects in the world are in the process of change. Because the change of the body is very easily perceptible. Change of corporeality is easily perceptible. It is, so to say, the outer layer of our existence. And the outer layer of our existence is that which changes that phenomena whose changes are the slowest. However, if the mind is strong, if it has developed the higher levels of concentration, if it has developed the Mahagata Chitta, the sublime states of mind, that means the Rupa and Arupa Jhanas, Rupa and Arupa absorptions. Those who have these sublime states of mind, they can start, in order to understand the selfless nature of all phenomena in the world, they can start right with analysis of the mind because of the strengths of the mind they are using. So it is the advantage, the traditional way of learning meditation is learning these first, these sublime states of mind, the Mahagata Chittas, before coming to Vipassana. This is the standard way as described in innumerable suttas, innumerable agamas in the canon. So it is a standard that before teaching Vipassana, the Buddha first teaches these sublime states of mind. And why is it so? Because it is his own experience. It is the Buddhist tradition recognized in all traditions that Buddha himself, after renouncing his extreme ascetic practices, he returned to the practice of the sublime states of mind, the Mahagata Chittas, which he has already mastered previously. So there is a story that when he takes the determination that he will never break his paryanka, his posture, under the Bodhi tree, unless he has experienced the Supreme Enlightenment, that after taking such a determination and trying to find out the way towards this supreme enlightenment, the first thing that comes to his mind is the memory of the first jhana he experienced already as a child under a jambu tree while attending the ploughing festival in which his father was ploughing and he just sat under the tree waiting for him. Very famous story. Students of Buddhism all know. Then, according to Upaklesa Sutta in the Majjhima Nikaya, the very content of Buddha's enlightenment is sharpening and bringing to perfection these Mahagata Chittas, these worldly absorptions. While training, so it is said in the Upaklesa Sutta, Buddha explains to Anuruddha how while he himself was training in the supernatural, the highest perfection of the Mahagata Chitta, of the sublime states of mind, is the supernatural, the so-called Abhinya Chittas, the five worldly Abhinyas. And this is exactly what the Buddha has trained according to the Upaklesa Sutta under the Bodhi tree. He brought these, the dhyanas, worldly dhyanas, that means the dhyana with applied and sustained thought, the dhyana with sustained, without applied thought, the dhyana without applied and sustained thought, vitaka vichara. Then the sapitika jhana, the jhana together with exaltation, then the jhana without exaltation, all these kinds of jhana the Buddha has brought into mastery. After completing his training with the preparatory training for the Abhinyas, then, as we know, he used these Abhinyas, namely the Pube Nivasa Abhinya, the recollection of the past lives, and the Dibba Chakhu, the celestial eye, which can see. One of the functions of the celestial eye is seeing how the we beings are die and are reborn in accordance with our karma. That's what he has seen. And having seen these things, he then experienced the very fast immediately after the Sotapanna, he became Arahat and entered into the Nirodha Samapatti. Then throughout his whole life, the Buddha has always praised these Mahagata Chittas, the sublime states of mind, the eight Samapattis. as the amata dwara, as the gates to deathlessness. In Attanagaraka Sutta. Attanagaraka Sutta. The Ananda explains that the Buddha taught 11 amata dwara, 11 gates to deathlessness. The 7 samapatis, because in the neva sanya, na sanya, one cannot practice vipassana, and the 4 brahma viharas. So the absorptions of mind are the traditional way to deathlessness. In the Chinese tradition, they are called Ru Lai Chan. That means the chan, the dhyana of Tathagata. Because the Tathagata has himself always praised them as being the best practice leading to deathlessness, to nirvana. And in the living tradition of Abhidhamma and of the commentaries, indeed, these are these Mahagata Chittas, the 8 worldly absorptions, 8 kinds of absorptions in worldly objects, is the necessary preliminary training for a detailed understanding of these mind processes and their contents, their mental factors. So, how the mental factors, how the minds are analyzed in the jhanas, you can consult, for example, Anupada Sutta or Magandhya Sutta of the Majjhima Nikaya, which explains the practice of practicing vipassana in jhana. So, in the living tradition, we do not start with the analysis of the akusala chittas. We come to them after having trained in the mahagata chittas, in the sublime states of mind. So, in our book, they come after the akusala citta, after the ahetuka citta, after the kamavachara sobana citta, then come this mahagata cittas. Only before the lokuttara cittas. It is not also accidental that they appear before the lokuttara cittas, because they are traditionally used as the basis for training in vipassana, which leads to the experience of lokuttara cittas. Super mundane lokuttara, who do not know? If any, I'm using any term you're not familiar with, you should tell me.
Many. So, every Pali word you said so far.
No. I am sorry, because I I'm not always familiar with English terms. If there is any, I'm using any term you're not familiar with, you should let me know. I am here to not to teach myself, but to teach you. Even so, I'm myself benefiting from teaching you. I enjoy it, but I can only enjoy it when you understand. So you should definitely tell me whatever part. Anything you can remember that you did not understand? Then you check, and we can make before we finish. We can always do question and answers. Okay, so we come to the Mahagata Chittas. Mahagata Chittas. You know what this Mahagata Chitta? It comes in your book as the Bhikkhu Bodhi, I think, translated as sublime. Sublime mind. Why it is a sublime mind? Why it is so powerful mind? You should know. It is very important to understand. What is the nature of ordinary kama vachara citta? No matter whether it is kusala or not kusala. The nature of the kamavachara citta is that it's always changing the object. Why always changing the object? Because of the monkey nature of our mind. Chappalam chittam. What does the chappala citta, this restless mind, does? And the kamavachara mind is just restless mind. No matter whether it is good or bad, whatever we do with that mind, it does not stay. Why? What means the chappala citta? Whatever. It is the nature of the kamavachara citta, of the sensual perception, of the perception dominated by five sensual objects, and most of the perception in this kamavachara citta, you just hear what ordinary people talk about and you will be clear what they are thinking about. They talk about what they have enjoyed, that what beautiful things they have seen, what beautiful things they have touched, what good food they have eaten. What good smells they have smelled. You hardly hear anything else in ordinary conversation. Why is that so? Because this perception in this kamavachara citta is dominated by sensual objects. So even the wholesome minds in this sphere of perception are very weak minds. Why? Because chappala citta is that citta which runs to that object which appears distinct in the door of perception. If a color is distinct in the door of perception, it runs to the color. Then just a little while later, the sound becomes distinct in the door of perception. Then it runs to the sound. Then the smell become distinct and it runs to the smell. Then taste become distinct, runs to the taste. Then while running to the taste, it remembers some color. Then even before it gets there, it runs to the color again. This is the nature of this monkey mind. So even the good things we do with this mind, they have no power to bring us the real wisdom. That is why those who accumulate wisdom with these weak minds are like those trying to walk around the earth with one foot, very difficult way. So in order to stand firmly, to establish mind in the firm perception, then the traditional training is then the training in the dhyanas, not only in Buddhism, also in the other Indian philosophies. They all were training in the dhyanas. That is why Indians, and not only Indians, even the Jews and early Christians and the Muslims, they all learned in the power of concentration, the power of prayer is nothing else than the power of concentration. That is why these religious people, they were able to remember the whole books without spending a long time on that. I have myself still met in India some scholars who can remember the whole Panini grammar with the Patanjali Bhasha, all remember by heart. This was a traditional training in the in concentration. And without this training, the mind then will always keep on running to that object which appears dominant to, at the moment, to whatever door of perception. So it is an absolute necessity if one wants to have a deeper religious experience, no matter what one believes, is to stabilize one's mind in non-destructive perception. And non-destructive perception is nothing else than the state of dhyana. The dhyana is upanijana. Upanijana means the contemplation of the object from near, which, according to Visuddhimagga, also the pachanika jhapayati, it burns the obstacles to stable perception. So that mind is the also the base for real deeper understanding of the Abhidhamma. And the more systematic training one gets in this training in the Mahagata Chittas, in these sublime states of mind, the easier it will be to understand this sublime and special teachings of the Abhidhamma. They are based on a stable perception. So the mind in these Mahagata Chittas, in these sublime conditions of mind, differs from the ordinary mind that we are using now, that while we find ourselves in these sublime states of mind, our mind is stabilized on one single object. While it is in the state of absorption in this sublime cognition, it just does not run to any other object. The power of that cognition is so great that the mind just spits out the need to run to other object, which is the characteristic of a normal mind that we are using. When one has perfected these sublime states of mind, then one can also study. This is the part of your book also, the chapter 9, the Kamathanas and so on. Through the practice of Kasinas, then Kasinas, the 8 Vimokhas, the 8 Abhayatanas, the 8 spheres of overcoming, then one trains such a mastery in the stability of perception that eventually, I will not talk about it in detail, but in this tradition is still very much alive. If you have attained certain mastery in these minds, then you can, even so, you change your object, the mind will have the power of the sublime states of mind. This is the highest perfection. This is a condition of the apinyas, of the supernatural. Powers due to which then one can see in detail one's past life, one can see in detail how the beings are reborn and die according to karma, one can see the thoughts of others, one can hear the distant sounds and so on, one can see through the walls. If you perfect this and it was also quite a common thing in the time of Buddha that one can fly up like a bird, crossed leg, and go wandering around the Himalayas. The power of mind is just unthinkable, and we nowadays our civilization has so decayed because we are not aware of these incredible powers of mind. Unfortunately, not only in Europe, but even in Asia, the people are getting more and more obscure about the possibilities of the mind. But the ancient people in Sri Lanka, in India especially, these powers were very common, just like supermarkets nowadays. So also the arahats were very common. Now we make a deviation, so we come back to our subject matter. This deviation is very important because we should understand how important this training in these sublime states of mind. It is not by accident that the most important book on meditation in the Theravada tradition, Visuddhimagga, almost 2/3 of the book is devoted to the samadhi. The biggest section of the book is on samadhi. It is more on samadhi than on the panya section or the sila section together. It shows how important this training in concentration was considered in this Attakatha tradition, which the Visuddhimagga. Attakatha means the commentaries based on the Abhidhamma. On which the Visuddhimagga is based. Visuddhimagga is based on the commentarial tradition, which is connected to Abhidhamma. And the author of the Visuddhimagga, the Buddha Gosa, is he also the compiler of the commentaries on the suttas, on Abhidhamma, and even on the Vinaya. So in old Sri Lanka, there were many different traditions of commentarial literature. The only commentarial literature that we possess now is that compiled by Buddha Gosa. We have only brief mentions of the other commentaries and other interpretations only in the Attakathas and Tikkas themselves. So how then, as we have mentioned already, we can use, for example, Anupada Sutta as the example how to understand this living tradition. In the Anupada Sutta, the Buddha is praising Buddha. Goes around the Jetavana monastery and hears the Sangha praising Moggallana for his supernatural feasts, praising Revata for his deep absorption, praising Anuruddha for his divine vision, but he's very surprised. He praising Ananda for his great erudition, but he's very surprised that no one, he does not hear anyone praising the Sariputta, who is the, as Buddha says, the Dharma born son of Buddha. So the wisdom, the supernatural powers can be seen, the divine visions can be recounted, what one sees, everybody will be impressed. The, like Revata, one can go under a tree and disappear for 7 days in deep absorption, like a dead man. Every other members of Sangha can see and become very impressed. Ananda can explain, everybody becomes very impressed. But it is also nature of wisdom. Wisdom is connected with humility. Sariputta is the most humble among the disciples. Even so, the greatest in wisdom, he is very humble. Even so, his power of samadhi is very great. He is struck by yakka on the head, but he feels just a slight headache. So great is his power of concentration. And he is so familiar with the Nirodha Samapatti that when he goes begging, he will never accept food before entering. He will always accept food only after entering the Nirodha Samapatti. Then he accepts food. Because he likes to give merit. The giving is purified, so says the commentary. That is commentary to Arana. Arana Vibhanga says that the giving is purified by wisdom, and the thing which is given is purified by love. The Subhuti is the supreme in purifying the Deya, Vatu, that which is given. And the Sariputta is supreme in purifying the giving itself, because Subhuti, he enters the always the Metta Jhana before accepting food. And Sariputta always enters Nirodha Samapatti before accepting food. So the Sariputta is supreme in purifying the giving, and Subhuti is supreme in purifying the gift itself. And so, in order to let everybody understand how great Sariputta says, the Buddha himself decides it is time to praise him in front of all. So he uses many, many praises for his wisdom. He's a great pandita, he's a tikha panya, and so on and so on. And finally, Buddha explains how Sariputta trained for his enlightenment. 2 weeks long, after hearing the famous verses of Asajita, Yedamahe Tupabhava, and so on, our friend Punyaratana, I think I must have taught you, no? This one of the most famous verses of Buddhism. When the Asajit heard these verses, just hearing one stanza, he immediately became Sotapanna. Then he recounted the same stanza to Moggallana. As soon as Moggallana heard it, immediately became Sotapanna. Then Sotapanna, after becoming Sotapanna, Moggallana trained 1 week. After 1 week becoming Arahat, he trained in the Abhinyas, in purifying his jhana, and then in Vipassana jhana also. And Sariputta also trained in Vipassana in jhana. And how did he do it? The Buddha explained. Sariputta entered into the first jhana. Having entered into the first jhana, he stayed in the first jhana as long as he wished. Then, having arisen from the first jhana, when one arises from the first jhana, what makes the jhana so important? It is very important to understand. If one does not have jhana, one will not be able to have a clear cognition of one's preceding mind, one's immediately preceding mind. It is not possible, because the mind is not stable enough to stay on that object. But if one trains in jhana, if one has a mastery of jhana, then what happens? Having left the state of absorption, then the mind, because the mind stays 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, even whole day on the same object, it has a terrible power. Then when it arises from absorption, because of the stability of the mind, it can see the past mind, which is nothing else than the mind in absorption. Suppose you train with the Anapanasati, when you have developed the nimitta, having developed the Patibhaga nimitta, the reflective image, which is the object of upachara jhana, of first, second, third, fourth jhana. In Abhidhamma we speak of 5 jhanas. Then, having left the jhana, then you will be able to see either in the nimitta itself, here, under your nose or on the upper lip, or in the bhavanga, the same sign that you have been watching for 1 hour or 2 hours or 3 hours here, you will be able to see in your heart. the seat of your cognition, or the base of your cognition, or the door of your cognition. Balanga is the door of cognition. Then if the mind has been stabilized in perception, it can see this door of perception that is not difficult to see. And in the door of perception, you can see also the flow of the bhavuticitta, of the, how to say bhavuticitta, of the active mind. When one arises from absorption, the mind that one sees is nothing else but the past mind, which is a mind which was in the absorption in the previous moment. So because of the stability of your mind, you are able to see it. There is no difficulty in that. So normally you cannot see the flow of your mind, but due to this sublime state of cognition, you will be able to see it. This is also what Sariputta did. So it is said, Sariputta, having arisen from the first absorption, then the dhammas which appear in the first absorption, te vidita upajanti, vidita abhatam gachanti. These dhammas which arise and disappear in each and every moment of perception, of cognition, they vidita, they knowingly, for Sariputra, they knowingly arise and knowingly disappear, abhatam gacchanti, in each and every moment of perception. He can see it because he has stabilized his mind. His mind is not a chapalachita, not a monkey mind. His mind is a very, very firm mind, like a diamond. So what does he see? He starts with the most prominent dhammas, most prominent cetasikas of the first jhana, which are the jhana angas. Jhana anga means, the anga here means hetu, the causes of jhana. First he sees the causes of jhana, because the causes of jhana, the jhana angas, are the causes of the first absorption of the Mahagata Chitta, which he has been cognizing. These are very prominent, so he sees them first. And he determines in this flow of mind, this is vitaka, this is applied thought. Applied thought is what? Applied thought, the characteristic of applied thought is that citta sa aramane abhinirupanam, the planting of the mind to the object, at the object.
The
Planting. Abhinirupana means planting. Huh? This is the characteristic of vitaka. It is the most important dhamma for learning samatha and vipassana. Without this dhamma, no samatha, no vipassana. Why? Because it brings the mind to the object. It is a power. What is vitaka? Vitaka is a power which brings mind to the object. According to the Northern Abhidhamma, according to Abhidhamma, according to Yogacara Bhumi, to Abhidharma Kosha commentary, it is its essence is pragya and chetana. It is the power of pragya and chetana, of wisdom and of will. How does our mind go to the object? You can, if you study Abhidhamma and you study it properly with absorption, you will see that the mind cannot go to the object without the, that means the mind in the sensual sphere of perception, cannot go to the object without the power of will and power of applied thought. This is like the two, they are compared in the commentaries to the two oars which move the boat of cognition to towards the object. If there is no volition, there is no movement in the mind. And this volition will be stabilized only by this power of vitaka. So vitaka, or applied thought, is compared in the commentaries, also in our Vibhavini Tika, which I'm using to Raja Vallabha, to a intimate person of the king. How does a person like suppose Dhammadipa wants to go to see, I forgot what is the Frau Merkel, is it the German German chancellor? No way to go to see Frau Merkel. They're not interested in Dhammadipa, but suppose intimate of Frau Merkel says this Dhammadipa, has such and such qualities, you should go to see him, or you should receive him. Then the Frau Merkel sends invitation letter, Dhammadipa, come. The similar, it is explained, the Raja Vallabha, the intimate friend, if he introduces you, normal person has no way to enter the object. There has to be this power of vitaka, then we will enter that object. And the object here is especially the wanted object of the samatha and vipassana. So it is that power. Due to that power, the mind has been stabilized on the object of absorption, and that power also comes as the most prominent one in the first jhana. Because due to that one was able to leave the sense-dominated perception and was able to enter the sphere of higher perception. But for those who have already practiced the vipassana and who have developed mind, this power of mind to go to the object becomes new sense. It is very troubleful power. Why? Because it's rasa, its taste, its function, is a repeated striking of the object. It takes the mind and strikes it at the object. Very, for those who have developed mind, it is very troublesome to be led to the object and hanana, pahanana, it literally strikes the mind at the object. And how it is manifested? It is manifested by anayana, aramane chitasa anayana. It brings the mind to the object. And what is the primary cause of this mind? Of course, all the other chetasikas which are brought to the object. Without them, the mental factor has no function. So this is the first Dhamma that Sariputta and anyone who learns according to the system will see very clearly when he has investigated when he has arisen from the first jhana and investigated his first jhana mind. Then the second factor that the Sariputta sees and that each of one of us can see, provided he has stabilized his mind in absorption, is the vichara, the sustained thought. The sustained thought, the characteristic of the sustained thought is aramane chitasa anumajana. It sustains, literally it massages the mind at the object. It lets the mind remain at the vicinity of the object. It is a characteristic of that mind. I will have to see it so that I don't mix it up. So aramana anumajana is the lakana of this power of mind which allows the meditator to remain at the vicinity of the desired object. Here we speak of the desired object because we speak about the samatha and vipassana practice. But then the rasa, the taste of this chetasika is tatha saha ja anuyojana. The continued application of associated states to the object. The associated states are all the other mental factors, of course. Now, the manifestation of this sustained thought is chitasa anupa bandana. That means it anchors the other, anchors the other mental states to the object. The in Visuddhimagga, because these two dhammas are very important in the process of learning samatha and vipassana. Therefore, in Visuddhimagga you will find, I think, four or five examples, illustrations, how to understand that. Maybe the most impressive illustration is, suppose you have a bee, which flies to a beautiful flower. Now, flying from afar to the beautiful flower is like applied thought. Now the bee will not immediately land on the beautiful flower. It will first hover around before it lands on it. This hovering around is this sustained thought. The Visuddhimagga northern tradition, both they especially emphasize that we have to understand these forces, two forces, as the vitaka, the applied thought, is the grossness of the mind, and the sustained thought is the chittasya sukshmata, is the subtlety of the mind. Well, in the Abhidharma Kosha, they are called the Pariyeshaka Mano Jalpa and Pratyavekshaka Mano Jalpa. Mano Jalpa means because these dhammas, they give rise in the Chula Vedala Sutta, it is said that they are, not only in Chula Vedala Sutta, it is said that they are the Vachi Sankhara. They give rise to speech. Therefore, they are, because they bring the mind to the object, they search, the applied thought is a search, manifested as a search for the object, and the sustained thought is the investigation, detailed investigation of the object, which then gives rise to speech. So, because these two dhammas are very indispensable for bringing in the normal cognitions, not in the very, very sublime conditions of mind, but in the normal conditions they are responsible for bringing object to the, bringing mind to the object. Therefore, they exist in all moments of cognitions of mind, in the kama-vachara sphere, except dvipancha-vijnana. We will analyze later all the different chittas. Vipancha-vijnana is the, except the seeing, hearing, and so on. We will come next week into these different chittas. Just remember that in the mind process, every moment of cognition, in the mind kamavachara mind process, every moment of cognition, except the bare fact of seeing, hearing, and so on, is necessarily connected with these mental factors, because they are so indispensable for bringing mind to the object. So, now, what were the other dhammas that the Sariputta has seen and that we can see? The next one is then piti. Piti is, comes from pineti, fulfilling. Piti is that which fills us with exaltation, which fulfills us. And this piti becomes, of course, very, very prominent when mind is not disturbed, when mind is established in itself and not disturbed by different objects. The more one establishes oneself in one's own mind, the more one will be fulfilled. So the characteristic of this mind, the lakana, is sampiyanana. Sampiyanana means endearing, fulfilling. Then it's a taste, is that it refreshes us, fulfills us completely. But because for one who has developed a concentrated mind, because this fulfilling, this endearing is manifested as odagya. Odagya means elation or exaltation. So it becomes a new sense. So it is a new sense of the higher states of concentration. as long as one is elated, one will not be able to maintain the imperfect impartiality of mind, which is the necessary cognition, necessary condition of ripening of wisdom. And of course, it's a necessary condition. It can only appear when there is nama and rupa. Without them, it will never function. And because it is connected with elation, with rising up, elation is a state of rising up. So, it is according to Visuddhimagga, they are mentioned five different types of piti, five different types of. One is ubega. Ubega means rising up. Ubega is also mentioned as one of the 11 upaklesas that Buddha has purified before experiencing enlightenment under the Bodhi tree, according to the Upaklesa Sutta. It is a upaklesa. But this rising up can be so powerful. It is mentioned in the Visuddhimagga that one in the Anuradhapura period, one girl was so rejoicing at the merit of their parents who went to worship at the stupa that she flew right there to the stupa with the power of that elation. So great was her faith in the Buddha Dhamma Sangha that when she flew to the stupa, then the parents very surprised, where did you come from? I don't know. Just flew with, I don't know, I have not seen it, but anyway. It is, there are different kinds of the piti, according to intensity. It's a perfect intensity, the fifth intensity is farana, when it, so to say, saturates the whole of body and mind. Now, the next Dhamma that Sariputta was able to distinguish very clearly was Sukha. Sukha here is of course Somanasa. Normally when we say Sukha, what we mean is bodily pleasant feeling. But here, the sukha means somanasa, the mental pleasant feeling. And this mental pleasant feeling is nothing else but just experiencing the experience of the pleasant object, receiving the pleasant object, here mental object. The feeling is nothing else but the reception of the mind. In Chinese it is translated as reception of the mind, Lingna. So while piti is rejoicing at the object and belongs to the sankhara, this sukha, which is actually somanasa, belongs to the vedana. It is the reception of the mind. And reception of the pleasant mental object. And due to the reception of the pleasant object, what happens? The bruhana, upabruhana, our being flourishes. When we receive the pleasant object, our being flourishes. When we receive the unpleasant object, milana, our being fades. Very important to understand. So the wise men accumulate the wholesome bodily speech and mental actions. That is why they experience more and more pleasant sensations. If we come back to somanasa, we have said its characteristic is the ita aramana anubhavana, the experience or the reception. I like reception much better than experience. The experience of the pleasant object. It's rasa. Is, as we have said, especially in the case of bodily pleasure, it is the gross, but in case of the mental pleasure, it is also the itta aramanasa sambhoga, it is the enjoyment, its taste is enjoyment of the pleasant object. Enjoyment, sambhoga, again in the sense of actual reception. In Visuddhimagga you have a wonderful simile to make you understand the difference between piti, between rejoicing and sukha, between rejoicing and happiness. And what is the example? Suppose you are in the desert and you have not drank water for a long time, and then you see in a distance you see oasis. Then what do? When you see oasis with a pool of cool water, seeing oasis with the cool water there in the desert after having strayed and being without water, what will you do? You will be full of elation. Then you run to the oasis and you plunge into that pond and you drink and wash to your full pleasure. That is like receiving, that is a vedana, receiving the pleasant object. and enjoying its sambhoga. Wonderful. So the manifestation is cetasika asada, the mental enjoyment. And the primary cause, because we are speaking about the absorptions, which are the developed mind, the primary cause is then pasadi. Pasadi means tranquility, relaxation, and also clarity. The two meanings are there. Clarity and relaxation of mind and body. This is the condition of samadhi. Without pasadi, no question of samadhi. And our friend Punyaratna has pointed out our time has run out. What remains is the ekagata, the main factor, which is the most important one. Ekagata is a synonym of samadhi, the one-pointedness of mind, and all the other different factors in our Anupadasutta. We have, I think, only 16 or 17 mental factors mentioned, but actually there are 34 mental factors in the first jhana. All of them we can investigate and see very clearly according to their characteristic. And when we advance and want to practice vipassana, then also according to their rasa, pachupatana, padatana. But that much for today. Tomorrow no lesson?
Monday.
Tomorrow, if you would like to teach, we can have class tomorrow as well.
Same time tomorrow.
Same time.
What time is Keiko coming?
Keiko is coming, I think, in the afternoon.
Okay.
And someone is coming also to visit. If you are enthusiastic, I can teach you. If you're not enthusiastic, I will not teach you.
We are enthusiastic.
Very enthusiastic.
Very enthusiastic. Okay. If you're very enthusiastic, so it is Ati itta aramana, then I have to teach.
Yeah.
But not on Sunday, because I will go to Keiko on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Okay. So tomorrow we have again class at 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that much for today. We will transfer merit for the benefit of all sentient beings and ourselves. Tranquilize our mind so that we can enjoy more and more peace and tranquility. Akasatta chabum martha deva naga mahidika punyam tam anumoditva chiram rakantu loka sasana. Akasatta chabum martha deva naga mahidika punyam tam anumoditva chiram rakantu desana. Akasatta chabum martha deva naga mahidika punyam tam anumoditva chiram rakantu tumam param. Sabitiro vivajantu sabaroho vinasatva mate bhavatu antarayo sukhi dihayuko bhava bhavatu sabba mangalam. Rakhantu sabba devata sabba buddhanu bhavin sabba dhammanu bhavin sabba sanghanu bhavin sada sotiye. Bhavantu te devu vasatu kalen sasa sampati hetu cha kito bhavatu roko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko.
Swadhu.
Thank you. Oh,
stop.
Yes.